Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So the Twitters are filled today with the nasty woman comment. I guess you know Trump's got a path. He's got a history, doesn't he? You go back to Hillary. Hillary was a nasty woman. He's called Nancy Pelosi a nasty woman, and now Kamala Harris a nasty woman. But yet the woman that he was asked about with Jeffrey Epstein, that Maxwell woman, he wished her well, which you kind of wonder, wouldn't she? I mean, if you're being consistent, wouldn't she be part of the nasty woman? I'm just kind of throwing that out there. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on the big first appearance today of Joe Biden and his running mate, Kamala Harris. I've got our good friend, former congressman and political analyst, Bob Ney, to come talk with us. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Well, thank you, Rick.
So, nasty woman. Yeah, she's a nasty. I guess let's start there. Were you surprised at how quickly the Trump campaign got their attack ad out? It was less than like 10 minutes.
They're all good at this. They probably had five different ones, okay, depending on who was going to be picked. Seriously.
And they were all going to be nasty women.
It was all going to be nasty. On this pick, which I think Senator Harris is a much better pick, frankly, than Rice, but on this pick, here's their problem, and that's why you saw the nasty woman right out of the box first, because she's hard to define. With Rice, it had been Benghazi City, right?
Right, and Obamagate.
Yeah, and the liberal. And they can call her liberal, but she actually had a problem in the primary because she was kind of going between the progressive and the moderate. So they can deem the most liberal ever, quote, and nasty, quote, but the truth remains that she's going to be very, very hard for them to define, number one, Rick, and number two, they better be very, very careful how they define her.
Well, I mean, I saw the woman who's the chair of the RNC, who was asked about the phony woman, the phony Kamala frame that they threw out, because that was the attack ad right away, that she's the most liberal ever, she's going to be horrible, and that she's phony, along with Sleepy Joe. And, this McDaniel, came out and said, no, this is going to work, because women get it. Women know that she's, she's a phony. And I'm going, I don't know that that's really something. Maybe this is the game plan. Do you think it's going to work? Do you think labeling her as a phony is the right thing right out of the gate?
No. First of all, can we talk first about race and sex? How about that?
Sure, go ahead.
We do that. It's always good to talk about sex. Let's talk about sex first. They're going to throw out the Willie Brown. I knew Willie Brown. He was, when he was speaker, a very powerful speaker, and it is no secret that she had a relationship with Willie Brown, who was estranged from his wife from 1981. No secret. It's been raised by Democrats. It's been raised by Republicans. It's out there. So, when they are going to throw out the sex part, because somebody did that actually on my Facebook, and I deleted it. They made a comment about her, if you can imagine what it was, and I deleted it. That's not going to work because, look, do they really want to talk about, tapes that the president's voice was on? All right?
No, but here's the thing. This is the weird part. Yes, they do, because his base doesn't care. I mean, that's the hypocrisy of this whole situation. And look, the slut shaming is going to, play at a certain level with because it's a woman. If it's a man, that's different. He was out sowing his wild oats. I think some of that still plays with a segment of the older population.
Well, it might, but it's really, they're going to have to watch how they approach it. It'll come back on them and backfire. And then the race part, I mean, it's really making my head spin when I hear people say, well, she's not black. She's Jamaican. First of all, she's half Jamaican, and she is half Indian.
Right.
From South India, Tamil Nadu area, which I've been down to in India. She is a woman of color. Now, they can say she isn't. She is. So that as we say in Appalachia, that dog ain't going to hunt, right, if they try to go that way.
So you're saying that the argument right now is that she's not officially black enough.
Correct.
Is that what it is? Okay.
Correct. That's what I'm actually hearing. She's Jamaican. That's Afro-Caribbean. That's what I was told today.
Okay.
And I said to my friend, you got to be kidding me. She will define herself as she wants, and she is a woman of color, and try negating that. So, I just want to get those two things out of the way. But as far as a phony, this one I really, really don't get. Because if you look at her background, I mean, it is truly, and I've, followed her background for quite a while, it's truly an amazing story. Raised by her mother, she's been both to Baptist church and Hindu temples. She's had a very interesting, background. She was part of the whole segregation issue, busing in, out in California. She, in 2016, she defeated Loretta Sanchez, who I served with in the Senate election to succeed Barbara Boxer. She had been the Attorney General of the state of California, prosecutor out in, which, by the way, some progressives have a problem with their prosecutorial record, but she was a prosecutor out there. She's really, I mean, far, far beyond phony. She has credentials.
Right. Well, what's that old saying? When the facts are on your side, you argue the facts. When they're not, you pound your fist on the table. And when neither on your side, you scream, holler, and do all of that. This is them just screaming and hollering and all that.
And let me tell you where phony evaporates. I know Mike Pence. I served in Congress with Mike Pence. I remember when he came into the Congress, right? Mike Pence was pretty capable at, the Freedom Caucus he was with and putting some bills out and things like that. But let me tell you something. As far as phony and Senator Harris, wait till they debate. Wait till they debate, Rick.
No, this is what I tweeted that out immediately.
He is a master at it.
I said this immediately. That's the one reason that I, for all along, throughout this whole process of waiting, I was saying Harris is going to bring that attack dog mentality to the campaign. And that debate is going to be well worth the price of admission. And they should charge an admission price because maybe we can start paying down some of our debt. But I'm whenever it is, I'm marking the calendar. I'm taking the day off work. We're gonna watch it.
Right. Now that doesn't mean this election's over with by any stretch of the imagination. We have to see what happens. Progressives have to come into order and not be so harsh about her quote prosecutor's record, which some of them right now are grumbling about it. But whoever would have been picked, there would have been an issue. There would have been a leftist, a liberal. This would have been out there.
Yeah, there's nobody good enough. There's nobody ever going to be perfect enough. And I said this from the beginning. She wasn't my first choice, but she was. And this is the weird part. She was the safe choice. And as I said yesterday on the show, it's amazing how far the party has gone to where a woman of color was the safe choice. I think that's pretty remarkable.
Well, that's true. And also in her case, if it's pushed too far about her record in California, frankly, that's when progressives who tell me they're not happy with her, and I say, "Well, you're going to vote for Trump? Is that what you're going to tell me?"
And that's what it is. I've had a bunch of people tell me, "Well, I'm not voting for him now because he picked her," and I'm going, "Well, why? Where are you going to go?"
Yeah, you're going to go with Trump. So when they, meaning the Trump campaign, expose certain things about her record, they're actually going to hurt themselves, because if you trumpet too much about her prosecutorial days, the end result, she's going to probably pick up some moderate votes.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting point.
Sure.
And, as I pointed out today, you had Wall Street coming out and very, very, happily, endorsing Harris along with Silicon Valley. I mean, there were a number of people in both of those communities very happy at her choice because she is a moderate. She's not going to be the one cheerleading the Medicare for All. She's moved away from that. In fact, in today's appearance, she was very clear that, she wants to strengthen the ACA and she's going to move forward on that. And I thought her appearance today was, I don't know if you watched it, but I thought it was excellent. I thought it softened her a little bit. I thought she came off and very likable. And I think she hit on a number of the topics that, where those progressive concerns were. I think she hit on a couple of those today.
I think she did. Her presence was extremely good, very relaxed, smiling, very personable. I mean, I thought she really, really did a very good job today. Now, there's a couple of minefield areas for her, especially because she is black, and those couple of areas, quote, defunding the police. They're going to say that she wants to shut everything down is what they're going to say. And issues like reparations, civil rights issues. So when I say minefield, she's smart and she'll be careful, I think, not to be caught in a trap that she looks like she's not for anybody but a person of color. I don't think she's going to come off that way. They're going to try it, though.
Right. No, and this is where, someone had asked me what I thought of her. I said I thought she's going to bring the energy and the passion. She's going to bring, a whole new boatload of energy to the campaign and be an extremely, good, partner in this. Or she could potentially be the Democrat Sarah Palin, to where it then becomes all about her, and then we get bogged down in a lot of those issues. I don't think that's going to happen, but, the potential is there.
Well, you raise a very interesting point, because today I was looking at her. She brings a vibrancy, an energy look. I serve with Joe Biden. I always liked Joe Biden. But right now it's not the, most exciting kind of campaign on earth, right? And I think she brings a brand new energy into it, gives it a brand new life, and it really enhances Joe Biden. I think she does. I think she enhances him. However, they have to be smart to not let the media turn this into her and then put him down a peg in the sense of the media coverage. And they're smart. They'll try to follow that, because you're right. You don't want that becoming like the John McCain, Sarah Palin deal.
Because here's the thing, and this is one of those moments where I thought Hillary made a huge mistake in choosing Tim Kaine. And I personally believe, she probably likes him and they're probably friends and all of that. But I think in the calculus was, you don't want somebody who's going to outshine you. And he clearly was never going to outshine her.
Right.
The thought that I have is, Harris could easily, if the media stuff takes off and we end up in a world where now she's the focus, and it's Sleepy Joe and it's Uncle Joe as an afterthought.
Right, and you're right on Kaine. I mean, I'm sorry, but it was like watching paint dry, and they wanted that to happen, so Hillary would be the focus point. And I think they knew in taking Senator Harris that they have a, quote, semi sort of risk that, she's younger, vibrant, this and that, and full of energy. But I think it'll enhance, if they do it correctly, it will enhance. And it's going to be up to her, because the media. You know them. The national corporate media, they're going to love to try to find some way to pit her against him.
Yeah, well, the first thing that's going to, the first major attack that'll probably come out is obviously the debate over the busing issue, of which, I said from the beginning, and I stand by, I was not a fan of busing. I lived through it. My neighborhood was one of the neighborhoods where they took poor kids out of my neighborhood, shipped them 2.5 hours on the other side of Cleveland to the other poor neighborhood. The facilities were terrible. Everything was crumbling and falling down. But we had the right mix. Instead of, in my view, there was so many more things that we could have done other than shuffling kids around and causing that kind of chaos.
Sure.
I got to assume that that's going to be something that's obviously a thing that they're going to try and continue to bait them with. And also, again, I'm sure you've seen it as well. The Tara Reid thing keeps popping up, even though I'll tell you, I don't see any there. But, there's a segment of the media that really wants that to be a story.
Right. Well, on the racist part, she did not say he was a racist. She threw some barbs there about, issue of busing. She was a little girl, et cetera, in California. But she said that I do not believe you are a racist. She said that right out front during the debate. And she said, I agree with you when you commit yourself to finding common ground. Now, so I don't think they can use that, but they will attempt, to use a quote when she said, I believe them and I respect them being able to tell their story and having courage to do it. She wasn't talking about Tara Reid. She was talking about some inappropriate touching, but she also went on to say that Joe Biden has stood up for women, supported women's rights and women's equality. So those two statements, though, are being turned into where she said, quote, he did something and that he is a racist. And that is not what, that's not exactly what she said whatsoever.
Yeah, but there were a lot of people who, when that came out, by saying, I don't believe you're a racist, you're actually saying, I believe you're a racist.
Right. I know. Like I said, she she said some barbs. There was no question about it.
Yep.
But we do remember. Remember Voodoo Economics?
Sure, sure.
They said it on Reagan?
Yeah, yeah. No, it was George H.W. Bush who said it.
Right, exactly.
No, I remember it like it was yesterday, you know. And sadly, he sold his soul to become vice president.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It was.
And one other thing, because we're on your show, it is very, very, very critical. She's from California. But it's very critical that she relates to working people. He's from Pennsylvania, and he relates to working people, and they have that component. You know, this is not just going to be about them, their personalities, and Trump. They've got to have that working class component that Hillary threw away.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. And she did, during her spiel today, she did hit on some of that, which I was happy to hear.
Thought it was good.
I thought today was really good for them. The energy is way high. They're evidently bringing in a boatload of money off of this. Good things.
All big money. The most raised by the one group.
Yeah,
$10 million.
I'm looking at it going, this is a good. I would be happy with this coupling going forward.
Right.
Maybe we could clean up some of the mess that we've got. I did want to get your thoughts on another topic. I was looking at Steny Hoyer's calendar yesterday. Evidently, no more voting until September 14th. I'm perplexed because, politically, just going home. I know it's an election year. I know it's summer. I get all of that. But is it the wrong idea to just be bailing out of town when there, people fell off the unemployment cliff, and we've left it to Trump with some bizarre, some executive orders we're not even sure he's going to be able to pull off? Is this a smart thing to do, you think?
I don't think it's a smart thing to do. I think they have to realize, putting the payroll tax aside, because he's blown a temporary hole, in Social Security, and then that could or couldn't be corrected, and that's important, but he went with the 400. Ohio's already said, fine, we're going to do our 25%, et cetera. And I think it's a calculated mistake if they just think that, well, he's sort of like a carnival showman and he did this. And he did a smart thing, because Mitch McConnell did a not smart thing.
Yep.
And didn't pass a bill. So right now they're kind of giving a break, and I think both sides are kind of saying, well, all right, we'll just see what happens for a little bit back home. Now, in the good old days, you go back to county fairs and you'd probably want to get in your car and leave because people would be screaming at you. Today, with the COVID, the political people aren't out like they used to be, out around people.
Yeah.
So maybe they're not getting as much heat as they might get a little bit closer to November.
Yeah, the story that I came across today was that, the headline read, Republicans believe they've got the upper hand in the COVID-19 aid stalemate. And I'm like, is this what we've basically boiled this down to? Who believes they've got the upper hand in the politics game when millions of people are really struggling and the pain is really, it's real. And at what point do voters go, I've had enough of this, and we just throw all the bums out?
It's going to look, the stats, you and I covered this about 2 weeks ago, the Democrats dumped down, in the numbers. The Republicans were already dumped down in the numbers. And, people, when they get angry, I know I went through this when I was in Congress. No matter if you pass something, you can say, well, we passed something. Well, the Senate didn't. Well, make them pass it. I mean, people have this thought. They just want it done.
Yeah.
And then pretty soon you all get blamed for it.
No, and this is what I keep telling people. Everyone's like, oh, we're going to get Joe Biden elected and Kamala Harris is going to be the vice president. It's going to be great. I'm going, no, it's not going to be great unless you get the Senate. If you don't get the Senate, it's going to be basically what we've got now, gridlock. Nothing gets done. Everything by executive order. Now, granted, there'll be better executive orders. But here again, we could have this kind of back and forth, one term to the next term of executive orders.
Well, sure.
And this is not a good way to run a lemonade stand. Sorry.
Right, you have to have the Senate, and that's one of the reasons Elizabeth Warren, had she been picked, you'd have had a Republican governor making a decision on a Senate. California, you have a Democrat governor. I mean, that was another positive thing to this seat, for the control of the Senate.
Yeah, who's going to be in there? Because I tweeted out yesterday, I thought Tom Steyer was going to buy himself a seat.
That's interesting. I never thought about that.
Look, he bought himself onto the campaign trail.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a bunch of other people. I guess Garcetti is the inside choice.
Poor Tom, he's got money. But remember, he was just sort of happy to be there to shake Bernie's hand. And remember?
I do. That was funny. And finally, I want to get your thoughts on the most recent attempt to deregulate. Evidently, the Trump administration is moving forward with the Department of Energy to undo the shower heads. You know that during the Obama term, they pushed for low flow shower heads. Well, Trump's gonna release the water.
I didn't know this one. Okay, so you won't have the restrictive shower heads.
Yeah, evidently this is the latest big. This is his. I guess this is the new campaign push. We're putting more methane into the air because the EPA is rolling back the Obama era regulations on methane. So all of those pipelines that they're building, they don't have to worry about releasing methane into the air, which is a horrible greenhouse gas. And at least we can get the methane off of us with these new old kind of shower heads. That's all I can come up with. It's the best I can do.
They're going to take on the big, mean, nasty, efficient shower heads. Now, that's going to get them a lot of votes. Just kidding.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to know. How often does your shower head break that you replace it anyway? Come on.
I've actually had the one I have now for
mine too.
20 years.
Forever.
It's metal, and that's why I hold on to it.
But maybe then again, election, I have to replace it. I'll think about them.
There you go. Good stuff. As always, Bob, I appreciate the time.
Thank you, Rick.
Thanks so much, our good friend Bob Ney. I don't know. Do you think the showerhead will get them some votes? Do you think by releasing the flow at a time when potentially the parts of the country might have drought problems at some point? I still believe anything with Obama's name on it, he has to destroy. And I guess this is part of it. There you go. Quick break, right back. Stick around.
Waving the flag of freedom for people, not corporations. Rick Smith.